Rave Radio. Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast. Green AV.
It's Gary K. It's time for my daily rants and raves. It is Monday, June 3rd, and I am joined today with by a special guest, Anthony Coppedge. But before we talk to Anthony, I want to remind you that you're listening to a Rave Radio podcast, and this is my daily rants and raves. And all of our Rave Radio podcasts are brought to you by Hypersign. Hypersign is a digital signage company that sells exclusively through the AV market, and they are looking for AV dealers. You can check them out at hypersign.com, which is HYPERSIGN.com. Anthony, how are you doing, Anthony?
I'm really well, Gary. It's great to chat with you.
Yeah, you're down there in Texas, and I used to live in Texas. Now, Anthony and I have known each other for somewhere around the range of 15 to 18 years now, I think. And
it's been a long time, yeah.
It has. And Anthony is sort of the guru of churches. He knows everything there is to know about AV in churches. And in fact, he is a columnist for our Rave House of Worship publication, which we've had about a year now. And he's been the driving force behind making sure we have content for that. But also, he's been great at telling, sort of informing the readers of House of Worship what's coming up in the House of Worship market, but also what's going on in the House of Worship market, because a lot of people that read the publication, Anthony, are not only people who sell to the House of Worship market, but a lot of people who read the publication are also people who run House of Worship entities, whether they be from the AV or IT side. And so it really caters to both sides of that market element, right?
Absolutely. It's been fun to write for it and to get the feedback and hear from manufacturers, dealers, integrators, and users about their experiences with the House of Worship market. Churches in America are unique in how they leverage technology compared to the rest of the world. So it's a unique focus, but it's one that's explosive and has exponential growth. So it's always interesting to me. Of course, it's my passion, so I'm slightly biased.
Yeah, in fact, you have a consulting organization, Anthony Coppedge Consulting, and your specialization is to help tell me you've not only helped manufacturers enter the House of Worship market, but you've also helped House of Worship entities themselves manage the AV integration projects and manage sort of picking the right components and also making sure their churches are future-proof.
That's right, Gary. I've actually had the privilege of being on what I call all three sides of the triangle. So I've been on staff at three different mega churches, which are churches around 2,000 or more. That's what that definition is. I've been on staff as a communication or media pastor. So I'm licensed to marry and bury. So if you want to come to Texas and get married or buried, I'm your guy, I guess. But beyond that, I've also served in the dealer integration channel. So I've done sales management and sales myself, as well as marketing in that side of things, and worked for some great companies over the years. And then also the third side of that is working with the manufacturers and consulting with them on how to reach, how to work within, and how to build even their products for the House of Worship market. And I've had some really fun stories working with some incredible people, and they've even seen a product I worked on get an Emmy. So it was kind of neat to have all three sides of that triangle, as you will, to work in this space. And it's been a real joy for me.
Well, the it's really easy to read Anthony's columns and keep track of the House of Worship market. We have a publication that, again, is targeted specifically to House of Worship. So all the AV products that come out, we scan every product that's introduced, and we write stories specifically about products that will be used or could be used in House of Worship applications. And we're not just focused on the mega churches. We're focused on the small all the way up to the super mega churches, in fact. So we try to accommodate sort of every level. And you can subscribe to that because it's free at ravepubs.com, ravepubs.com, and then click on the subscribe button, and you'll see a link to subscribe to that publication. Anthony, I'd love for you to tell us sort of what are sort of the hot trends right now in churches. What would you say if I said to you, if I'm a pastor and I'm looking at trying to make sure that I have the latest and greatest in my church, but at the same time not break my bank, or if I'm an integrator and I'm deciding I want to target churches, what would be two or three things that you would say would sort of be leading the way right now in technology?
Well, there is a big push in the church market as a whole for what's called multi-site. And I have covered this in a couple of articles for Rave. And you know, the real idea behind it is that there are churches that are growing very large. And we're talking, you know, thousands of attendees every weekend, Gary. And what they'll do is, rather than try to go build even larger and larger buildings and accommodate more and more parking and, you know, the logistics that come with that, they'll often say, where are our people coming from? And they'll just do a demographic search from zip codes and understand attendance. And then they'll say, what would happen if we put another campus of our church over there? Well, in a lot of these churches, most of them, what you're dealing with is a audio-video lighting kind of scenario that matches what happens at the main campus. And in fact, the worship, all the singing, all that's live. But then when it comes to the message itself, that's a video. And there's basically four ways of doing it, but the general gist of it is that you would either do a single screen with the guy walking around, you know, on the main platform, or you would do IMAG, which is your image magnification, so your tight shots on side screens, and then a center screen that drops down typically to the floor, or comes up from the floor if it's in the center, and it's slightly larger than life size. It looks life size to your eyes, but typically you'd make them about 8 foot tall just because of the optics. It would look more realistic. Mm-hmm. And it's very common for that experience in these churches. And it sounds a little weird the first time you hear it. I remember the first time years ago that I experienced it at the fellowship churches. I actually went to one of the video venues meeting in a local high school. And they set all this up, and you know, they were there early, and trailers were the tech. And after about 2 minutes, Gary, I forgot I was watching a screen because it was so lifelike and so realistic. What's fascinating about it, as we call these video venues, and these video venues are multi-site campuses, is that when the pastor tells a joke, people laugh. If he asks them how many saw the Rangers beat the so-and-sos, raise their hand, and they'll raise their hand, even though it's a screen. They fully interact, because in a lot of churches that are, you know, larger, I'm going to say 750, 800 seats and more, they're using video in their anyways, image magnification for larger venues. And so people watch the screen once you sit past about the fourth row. So that's already normalized, and so it makes it very easy. Multi-site's probably the biggest trend we see that would affect the audiovisual lighting market. And then beyond that, I would jump in a couple more, but let's talk about that one first, because I think it's the trend to watch.
Yeah, so you're basically creating an immersive experience is so that the customer – at some point in time, it's sort of like when you, I know this is going to be a terrible analogy, but at the same time, when you said they raised their hand, it made me think of this. You know, when you sit in a movie theater and somebody with a giant head sits in front of you, you go, oh, now my seat's ruined. And then all of a sudden the movie starts, and 2 minutes into the movie, you don't even notice that there's people sitting in front of you. You're kind of immersed in the experience of the movie, if it's good. Then basically, that's sort of what you're kind of talking about, is that at first they're sitting down and it's a little strange because they're surrounded by speakers and they're surrounded by a screen. And so it's more of a technical experience. But as the pastor starts preaching and the sermon starts, or basically the show begins, ultimately they're immersed in the experience. And if the person's good, then they're going to basically draw them in regardless of what's in front of them.
Yeah, the technology gets out of the way. And in fact, I think one of the big mantras that everybody listening to this podcast and reading the articles would do well to understand, whether it's manufacturer, integrator, rep firm, end user, church, you know, that really doesn't matter, is that in churches, technology is best when it's transparent. In other words, we don't want to notice the technology. Technology needs to be good enough that my experience was so good that I enjoyed it, but not so over the top that I'm paying attention to the technology.
Right.
And so there is a tension that has to be managed there. You know, the best day for a church sound guy typically is when no one says anything to him. You know, no one said it was too loud. No one said, you know, not having any feedback is a win, right?
Right.
Because that meant it wasn't in the way. And as we leverage technology, you know, it doesn't mean we don't leverage some really sophisticated tools. We do. It's just how it's done. And I think it has a lot more to do with how we train, how we integrate, and how we operate than it does with the kind of gear we spec, right? And that's the big, big part that I think is missed. They just think, oh, I just need brighter projectors, or I need a new sound system with, you know, more fidelity, or I need to have better lighting now that we have added video. Those are all true things, but you'll back into your solution when you start with the other side of it and you say, what's that experience going to be like, and how do we make it transparent both from an operational and from an user side. That's incredibly important.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And I think that rule of thumb can be used not just in the church market, but everywhere in AV now. I think that you're going to start seeing more and more of a balance of what's good enough to get the job done that's not intrusive on the experience. Because back in the old days of video conferencing, you had to have this giant camera and codec sitting right there in front of everybody, and it was an obtrusive experience. It wasn't a natural experience. But now they've embedded cameras, little small cameras, so small that they're bedded into the screens and people don't really notice them. And that codec can be mounted somewhere else now. It makes it for a better experience, and you're not intimidated by the technology, because a lot of people are intimidated by technology. Now, in the case of pastors, though, I mean, this is second nature to them. I mean, they're basically artists. In a lot of ways, they're a combination of an actor, a speaker, and a member of the church as well. So they obviously have to be really good presenters. But at the same time, what is their experience like? I know that they have the live people in front of them that sort of give them the energy that they need. But have you done any integration, or have you seen any integration where maybe they're taking the satellite locations or the other regional locations, I forget the term you used, the video sites.
Venues.
Where they've actually projected them on the back walls or on the side walls of the main facility, so that there is a little bit more two-way interaction.
Yeah, there's actually a couple of ways that's been done, and it's very typical to have a large screen at the back as a confidence monitor, both for the worship musicians for singing. They might throw lyrics up there, or they might throw video from the campus on there. I think the most complex one I saw, it's kind of funny actually, is in Florida, the Church of Florida. They have three campuses that are all connected with dark fiber, and what they do is they actually share the audio mix. They share the video roll-ins, they share the video switch, and even the singers. So during a worship, you might have a trio singing, and one person would be at each venue. And the drummer might be in one venue, the bass guitarist in another. And so they're all mixing multi-track, if you really think about it, but live multi-track from multiple venues. And they're syncing that all together with time code. And sometimes they'll have a click track, to keep everybody on the same beat, in-ear monitors. But the bottom line is that's a real sophisticated example of that, where it's not just they're getting feedback, they're actually participating in multi-site in real time. Of course, it leaves zero margin for anything flexible. It's all pre-programmed at that point, and it's a very structured service. So if it doesn't work for everybody, I've seen at that level where it's extremely tight production elements, or the more common, Gary, is when they have the feedback from other campuses. And no churches that start their worship services all at exactly the same time, again, 70 time code and drive MIDI or whatever, so that they have a way to start on time. They might start the same song in each of the campuses, and then they'll show shots and put a lower third bug or a text graphic of which campus you're looking at, so that there's a shared experience for the users, not just for the people on the platform, for the people in the audience, that they're part of something larger than just their campus.
Yeah.
And then they might break off and stop sync after the first song. They might do that. That's pretty common. The less common is what I described earlier, the kind of over-the-top one versus getting that feedback. And it's not hard. It's just a routing thing, right? Just put whatever you want to see whenever you want to see it. But usually the interaction is limited to what's happening in the room. There's very few that are doing it to that level because of the complexities.
So tell me another big trend. I mean, obviously this immersive experience is logical, and it's actually affordable now. It used to be hundreds of thousands of dollars, but now we have companies that are building seam screen processing products and also multi-site, multi-image processing products for in the few thousand dollar range, whereas that used to be $70,000 to $100,000, not even 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. It was still extremely expensive. So that's come down in price. But what else do you see? I mean, are to, I mean, obviously the, in the facility, you have to have these amazing cameras to be able to do that. So there's still some cost involved in that. And you also have to have a production staff that's able to pull that off. But what other kind of trends do you see that are sort of either now happening in the church, the house of worship market, or on the horizon that integrators need to be aware of?
I'll try to touch on two things simultaneously to answer your question, Gary. One would be on the opposite end. It's a simplification of the whole thing. Rather than the more complex that we just described, simple is great. And remember when we started this conversation saying that you really wanted to have a transparent experience. And a lot of that has to do with your tool set and your training. So it's been more and more common to see churches retrofitting existing technology to really accommodate a more simplified approach. For example, digital audio consoles have been around for a while, but in the church market, they've really picked up steam, even in very small venues. And the reason is that you can have cues, right? I mean, you're basically right. Going from cue to cue. There's recall. So if someone's really blowing a mix, you can at least reset back to the beginning. You know, so there's a way to start over. But the bottom line is, from a volunteer standpoint, which is, you know, the key for most churches, is making it volunteer-proof. Now, that doesn't mean idiot-proof. They're not dumb. It's just they have a full-time job somewhere else. This is not their job. So you've got to make it easy for them. And digital audio consoles have been a part of that. And on the production side with video, you know, a lot of them are just saying, hey, we're just going to put a live stream up. And so, again, that can be relatively low-tech, just a matter of the form and function of their facility. Lighting has also been important in that we're seeing a lot more churches paying attention, especially with retrofits in buildings or new construction, for sure, when they're getting LEED certified. But moving away from the real high-energy, high-heat lamps of old and moving instead towards LED. So we've seen this a lot. And one of the benefits is not just the cost savings and the green footprint, but also the ability to now do color mixing in the room. You know, everybody's pointed the lights at the stage forever. But you can create a real environment and intentions and moments where different colors actually speak differently. So as you know, red would be more aggressive as a color, and blue or green would be more cool. Well, depending on the song, you might actually do a color wash on the ceiling or the side walls, and then even over the audience to a point. So these are the kind of things where we're creating. Again, it's complex in that you got to think about it, but operationally it's very simple, and functionally it's very simple. It just creates something kind of basic, and it's almost thinking of a band that does an acoustic set, right? You know, a big rock right. band that does an acoustic set. It's just toning it down to something different, and there's a lot of churches that are appreciating that. So combining that, remember I said there's a twofold answer here, Gary. The other part of that for the house of worship market is that there's now more products than ever. So the clarity of who's doing what and where to do it, how to do it, has never been more important than it is now. Because it has to be simplified, because volunteers are part of that mix, there needs to be a real change. And I would be at the front of this line yelling, but you know, there needs to be a change in how the content is marketed, the products are marketed. There needs to be a move away from ours is bigger, brighter, kind of louder, whatever, to ours is more simple. This is it. This is volunteer easy. This is pastor friendly, right? The idea that for the majority of churches, you know, majority of churches in America run less than 200 people. So there's a big swing in the size of the market, 200 and up, right? You know, you get plenty of business there, but never forget that small churches are the norm in America. And so there's real opportunity to have a real simplified level of technology, but more than that, it's how you approach the market, it's how you speak to the market, and it's the way you educate the market. Those are important feed factors.
That's a great piece of advice, and I think hopefully a lot of manufacturers who do listen to these podcasts will heed that advice. But at the same time, I think integrators are a big part of that. I think they have the opportunity to really simplify things and put things into an application-based pitch rather than a technical marketing based pitch, because the manufacturers, they do want to promote the brighter and smaller and bigger and, you know, more digital signal processing and whatever else they want to stick in there. It's up to the integrators to sort of simplify it by putting it all together into a system and saying, instead of technologically your system can do this, this, and this, technically they should be saying more like, with this system, you will be able to do this, this, and this from an application standpoint. So I think that's really good advice.
I would also push back on that just a little bit, Gary, honestly. I would say the manufacturers have a responsibility there to understand their market, right? So the church market is, the house of worship market is just different. And how you market to them, which I've talked about in multiple issues of Rave, really matters. And you're not talking down to them. You're just talking with them, not at
right.
them. And a lot of that has to do with positioning your product for the function of the space or the channel. So know thy audience, right? And then turn around and speak to how you fit and how you solve their problems and how you make their world better. And it's not bigger, better, faster usually. Normally it's less is more. But the right less doesn't mean less expensive necessarily either. I mean, it can be complex on the on its capabilities, but in the operation, that's a big thing. I would even go so far as to say that many manufacturers would do well to have a separate GUI that could be loaded as firmware for volunteer operation, that you take some of the terms and that would be used for professional applications, and you make them volunteer proof where they're common terms. So I would feel like there's even real opportunity to personalize, if you will, by market, the operational user interface. That's a manufacturer thing, not an integrator thing. So
yeah.
To me, there's just a real opportunity for everybody to recognize that they need to treat this market and approach it differently.
That's great advice. I mean, obviously, you're the expert. I mean, there's probably nobody in the industry that knows the house of worship market that I know better than you. So I definitely hope that that advice is heeded, and I think that it's great advice and comes with a lot of experience. Now, you're down there where these mega churches are. I mean, there's a lot of mega churches in the Texas area, and there's a lot of mega churches in that geographical area, but you know, one of the things that, even the church that I attend, one of the things I've noticed is that engaging young people is very difficult. I mean, they're not as excited and as interested in going to a church and being told everything they're doing wrong is wrong, or everything they're doing is wrong, and that they're not doing anything right. And that's the generation that, you know, not only grew up on MTV, but also grew up playing video games. I mean, there has to be some of that being taken into consideration in the future, sort of the next generation church. What I mean, obviously there's those types of churches are using an enormous amount of AV that is not sort of the average sort of traditional or even the mega church. I mean, even the mega churches that I see on TV that are piped into North Carolina from Texas, those even though they're in arenas or former stadiums and large arenas and theaters, they still look like a traditional church in many ways. They're sort of modernized because there's just so much technology, but they still look traditional and feel traditional in a lot of ways. But there's sort of this new trend of churches where there is no front and center. It's you're immersed and you're sitting around the entire church as opposed to always sitting in one location. Where somebody's always in front and center. Is that helping to draw more younger people and keep younger people engaged, or what kind of technology can we use to do that with?
I think the technology is less important than the focus of the church, right? It's that their intentionality of reaching young folks and reaching young families is a very distinct function of their of how they're positioning the vision of their church. So I think that has a lot more to do on the church side than on the tech side, Gary, however. I also believe that when we have the application of technology that makes sense, for example, and this goes slightly beyond AV, but the day of going into a church and picking up a bulletin to find out what's going on, I think that day should already be over. I'm curious why it's not. Smartphone adoptions being what it is, I think churches should have church apps, and when you walk in, you can have push content right to you, so I should be able to have it on my smartphone. Or my
that's a great idea. Yeah, see, that's it. That's right? A great idea.
So those are the kind of things I think that are they're immersive. It makes sense. It's how people already roll. And then, of course, social media plays a very large part in the church space because the church, remember, was social before social media was social, right? So church, I mean, Nike would kill to have the kind of brand affinity that churches get by default, right?
Yeah.
So there is a real opportunity from how to speak to them. It's the engagement, and that goes well beyond the weekend. So that's, again, much more on the church side, but there's a facilitation of that effort through technology that makes it easier. And for example, let me throw one thing in. I really have looked for years for, like AMX, Crestron, and others that have done a really good job of bringing the tools together under a single UI. But at the end of the day, we really want to have good ROM. So there's return on investment in the secular world, but in the church world, it's a focus on ROM, return on ministry. And the idea is how effective are we? How do we measure that? When people start giving the tools, and they're pretty sophisticated people here, right? They're just in a different space. But if we give them tools to understand the effectiveness of things, for example, I want to know when I need to change out lamps on a projector well before I start noticing the dimming. I want to know if my AC system's left on in three classrooms in, you know, the east wing. Or I want to know what our total power consumption looks like, you know, for when we're running lighting. And if we've made a change to LED for some of our fixtures, you know, what kind of, for example, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do we help them be better stewards of the resources they have? And the technology can give us that real-time feedback. We can know a whole heck of a lot about what's operating, what's not, and what needs to be addressed. But beyond the operational maintenance side, there's a real opportunity to say, what's that return on ministry? What's that return on investment, Gary, that helps them understand the application tools to say, if we made these changes, we could do this. For example, I know one church, very large church, they're not even mega church, they're giga church, right? That's my own term for them. But giga church is running 8,000 or more. This church runs about 16,000 here in Dallas. And they had, I don't remember how many light bulbs it was, but it is a very, very large facility. Probably, I'm going to start guessing, I mean, it's a 7,000 seat venue, right? And plus, you know, massive space. So it's massive, massive, massive. They changed out all the light bulbs and they went with the fluorescent, you know, incandescent, we call those.
CFLs
or low energy ones. Thank you. And they had over $1 million a year in electricity savings.
Yeah.
$1 million. I mean, like, that's substantial. So there's a lot of things where technology, we can start to leverage the tools and the feedback mechanisms we have to not only address it from an operational or maintenance side, but to say, you know, we can look at some cost savings and help you be better stewards. So there just doesn't seem to stop, right? Our industry is so poised to have all the right information that works very well in other markets that we're very familiar with. It has application here. It's how you address that application. Again, know thy market. And you can find incredible value, wonderful margin, and great repeat business with a loyal base. I mean, the church market is phenomenal for those who approach it correctly, and it's a pain in the butt for everybody who does it.
Well, that's good advice. Now, for those people who don't, you know, who just joined us or just piped in here halfway through, we're speaking to Anthony Coppedge. He's with Anthony Coppedge Consulting, specializes in House of Worship market, and he is also a columnist for our Rave House of Worship publication, which has been around about a year. Anthony, you can be reached where? What's your web address?
Yeah, my name is anthonycoppedge.com. It's Cop with an extra P, then Edge. And same thing for Twitter. It's Twitter / or at Anthony Coppedge, Facebook / Anthony Coppedge. I'm pretty easy to find as myself. So those are real easy ways to connect with me. And it's a real privilege to have served helping people understand and working with the church market for almost 20 years, 19 years right now. So,
well, you've done a phenomenal job, and you've done a phenomenal job, and you have a great reputation. That's why we have, and we're honored to have you part of Rave House of Worship. We were lucky to get you at the timing that we got you, and you've done a phenomenal job, and that publication has grown well, and you can subscribe to it if you're not already at ravepubs.com. Just click on the subscribe link on the right side of the page, and a little pop-up window, pop-down window will pop down and allow you to subscribe. And Anthony, I appreciate your time today, and you'll be at InfoComm walking the show, I'm sure.
Yeah, but hopefully to be able to make it again this year. I'm not actually sure. We got a move coming up with our home, and I might not make it this year, but that's okay. So, you know, you can always ask questions at the @RavePubs on Twitter, at Anthony Coppedge, and of course, we, you know, #AVTweets, AVTWEEPS, you know, I always check that, and love to get feedback with people from the articles and the questions. Gary, you know, I know you do too. It's a great leveraging tool for us to just to continue to engage with an industry that needs to understand this market.
It's a lot of fun, and like I said, you are the man. You understand this market better than anybody that I know of, and you've helped a lot of not only manufacturers but a lot of integrators understand and really identify the opportunities in this market and how to do it right, as you said. So this is Gary Kay. This has been my Daily Rants and Raves for Monday, June 3rd. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next week at InfoComm. And, of course, you can check out all the news about InfoComm on our dedicated InfoComm website at www, of course, www.ravenowinfocom.com. We already have a couple of hundred stories up there, including news, press releases from all the manufacturers and products they're introducing at the show, and also details on how you can enter our game. This year, the game that's being played at Infocom, we're giving away a smart car. Yes, a smart car. And even if you're not going to Infocom, Anthony, you can play in the game because there's a way to play if you're not able to go to the show, in addition to those that are going to the show. So thanks for listening to Rave Radio. Y'all have a great day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.